I want us to open our Bibles this evening in the book of Numbers. Let's follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy word in the 21st chapter of the book of Numbers. It is somewhat difficult to judge the heating requirements and nights like these. Some nights it's freezing, some nights it's somewhat warmer like this evening. But I don't want anyone, especially at the back there, to get... If you are feeling a draft, if it is coming in during the preaching of the word, just get that closed over. We don't want anyone that is feeling that draft and go home and get pneumonia and blame the mission and say, I better stay at home for the rest of the mission, because the old devil would be very delighted. So if the rest of you are sitting boiled, just take your coat off, but be sure that nobody's sitting freezing with a draft coming to them at the back. Let's open our Bibles, please, the book of Numbers, chapter 21. And verse number 4, it says, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpent from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass, put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Then turn your Bibles to John's Gospel, chapter 3, and we'll just read a few verses from God's Word in John's Gospel, chapter 3. And we read in verse number 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's keep our Bibles open. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's seek the face of God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise thee for the privilege of opening the Scriptures tonight and preaching the precious Word of the living God. We thank you, we praise thee that it is the entrance of thy Word that giveth light. We pray tonight that, blessed God, those that are darkened in sin, that you'll shine the light of the Word of God into their soul. We pray for those who are dead in sin, that the life of Christ, O God, may be manifested to them, that they might realize that Christ said, I am come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. We pray that you'll put in the hearts of your people a burden for the lost of this district. And, O God, we pray that they might go out, even as this mission continues, out into the highways and byways to compel the people to come in, that the house might be filled. O God, send us revival. O God, send us a breath from heaven. Open thy word to our hearts tonight and bless us and do us good. Thank you for this precious word. We pray that you'll bring it to our hearts with power, and that those that are without Christ may be gloriously and wonderfully saved by the sovereign grace of a sovereign God. Hear and answer our prayer. Cover us in the blood. Fill us with the blessed Holy Spirit. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And for Jesus' sake, and the people of God said, amen and amen. Some years ago in the city of Glasgow, a little child was lost. That little child wandered about and couldn't find the way home. After some time, this little one was standing there in the streets of Glasgow, and the tears were running down the cheek. A big peter came along and stood beside the little child and asked the little one what his name was. The little one gave the name to the policeman. And then the policeman said, could you tell me, where do you live, darling? Where do you live? The little child looked up at the policeman and The little child didn't know the address where she lived. She stood there in her tears, and as the policeman tried to inquire as to the place where the little one lived, the child could not explain it. And so the policeman was at a loss of how to get the little one home. And then he thought to himself, he said, you know, is there anything that you could help me? Is there any place, is there any marking spot where you could help me that I could take you and bring you home again, that you might be found? The little child looked at the policeman and said to him, sir, I want you to, if you could take me to the cross, if you could take me to the cross, I'll surely make it home. And you know, it was speaking about the sign, the place in Glasgow, it's called the Glasgow Cross. And the little one said, please, get me to the cross, and I'll make it home. Men and women, let me tell you, it's the way of the cross that leads us home. We were reading in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and it says there, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Lord Jesus Christ was speaking to a very educated man, a man of the Sanhedrin, a man who was very religious, a man who tithed and gave to the temple, a man who prayed religiously and spent time in prayer and in fasting. And yet as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke to him about the new birth, and he said to him, Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Nicodemus, his heart was blinded to these things. He had religion, and yet he had not Christ. And he turned to the Lord Jesus, and he said to him, he said, how can these things be? And the Lord Jesus Christ sought to open the scriptures to him and open his heart. And he said to him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And in response to the inquiry of Nicodemus, the Lord Jesus Christ showed Nicodemus the simple plan of salvation. I want us to see, if we turn our Bibles, please, I want you to open them in the book of Numbers, chapter 21. And I want us to think about that passage where the Lord Jesus Christ was explaining to Nicodemus, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And I want us tonight to consider this passage of God's Word. And I want you to think of three things this evening. I want us to think, first of all, of the people in peril. And then, secondly, I want us to think about the plan that was provided. And thirdly, the pattern that is presented. First of all, let us think about the people that were in peril. I want you to understand the background of the scene. The children of Israel have ended their wanderings in the wilderness, and they're starting on a path that is going to take them eventually out of the land of the wilderness into the promised land that God had promised his people. God's servant Aaron is now dead. And for 30 days the people mourn over the passing of Aaron. But now it's time to move on. It's time to head on to the promised land. The children of Israel are going to endure hardships and testings, and even the fiery serpents, because of their sin. And as I think about those people, there are about four things I would say. First of all, they were a people that were bitter. If you go down in your Bibles, please, to verse number 4 and verse number 5, I want you to explain just exactly what I'm saying. They were a people that were bitter. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people speak against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. I want you to notice the word bitter. The word there, discouraged, means they were short-tempered, they were bad-tempered. In other words, they were impatient with the way. And the reason for that was this. You see,
there was a they had to make a detour around Edom. They wanted to pass through. They thought the easy passage on their way to the land of promise was through Edom. But we find that Edom and the people of Edom wouldn't allow them to pass through their territory, and they were not permitted to go that way. And you know, as they thought about this, they were short-tempered, they were bad-tempered, they were impatient, because what they thought was the natural way. They said, you know, this is a straight way, this is the natural way. We want to go this way. We don't want to go the detour. We don't want to go any other way. Friend, let me tell you this. What in reality was happening, this was God's way. And God in mercy and God in wisdom was taking them this way. It wasn't a shortcut. My, they thought that it would be more natural to go this way, or it would be the shortcut to go that way. Now, let me tell you, men and women on their way trying to get to heaven, friend, they think that if they go to church, that ought to be the way to heaven. If they say their prayers, that ought to be the way to heaven. If they're baptized, that ought to be the way to heaven. If they read their Bibles, that ought to be the way to heaven. You see, my friend, there is a way that seemeth right, the Bible says, unto a man. But the end thereof is the way of death. And I'm going to say something like, there are no shortcuts to heaven. There are no shortcuts to heaven. There is a way to heaven, and it's God's way. It's God's plan of salvation. And because they didn't get going their way, they were bad-tempered, they were short-tempered, they were impatient. And the Bible says they were discouraged, they were much discouraged by the way, because of the way. And because they didn't get doing their thing, or they didn't get going their way. The Bible says in verse 5, the people speak against God and against Moses. They murmured against God. They murmured against Moses. In actual fact, they accused God that his food wasn't sufficient. There was a deficiency in what God had provided for them. And God had given them food. God had given them the manna. But they loathed it, the Bible says. They loathed it. In other words, they treated it as contempt, or with contempt. They were not willing to take what God had provided for them, simply because they didn't get their own way. Friend, that's one of the great follies of mankind tonight. They prefer their own will. They prefer their own way. I was thinking, you know, whenever you read earlier in the book of Numbers, if you go to chapter Numbers 11, and this is what it says there in that chapter. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And they were contemptuous of God's provision. And they looked at it, and they treated God's provision with contempt. Friends, tonight that's exactly what the sinner does. He treats God's provision for your salvation with contempt. And you say, well, listen, I don't want God's way. I don't need God's way. I believe there's a shortcut. I can take my way and I'll get to heaven. Friend, let me tell you, there is no other way to heaven, as we'll see in this passage, only God's way. And you know, people today, they prefer the fish of human reason, and they prefer the cucumbers of speculation, and they prefer the melons of ritualism, and they prefer the onions of tradition, the leeks of tradition, and they prefer the garlics of superstition. Anything but God's way, anything but God's provision in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in their pride, and in their lust, and in their sin, they rebelled against God. And the Bible says they spake against God and against Moses. Well, sometimes, you know, people speak against the God of glory and God's provision in Jesus Christ, and they mock the Son of God. Friend, I want to tell you this. The Bible tells us in verse number 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Here we find that God judged them. You see, first of all, they were bitter. They were bitter against God, because they didn't get their way, because they couldn't take shortcuts the way they wanted to do. and they were bitter against God, and they were bitter against Moses. Secondly, I want you to notice, not only were they bitter, they were bitten. They were bitten. Because it says in verse 6, the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. They were bitten. It's interesting to notice, if you read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 15, that the wilderness was a place of fiery serpents, and yet not one of them bit them. It was a place of fiery serpents, and yet not one of them had bitten them up until this time. You read it in Deuteronomy 8:15. And God in mercy had preserved them. God in mercy had protected them. And friend, now the Bible tells us that God sent those fiery serpents among the people. And because God sent them, they rose up and they bit them, or they stroked them, or struck them with a sting and the venom of poison from the serpent. Look back over your life and think how God has preserved you until this moment, friend. Think of the mercy of God. Think of the blessing of God to you. Friend, let me tell you tonight, you have a soul that's out of hell. Your soul that's sitting here, person that's sitting in a gold time gospel mission to hear the word of God. Men and women have been cut off. Men and women have been swept away under God's judgment. You've been spared. You've been left for another mission. Just like these people, they were preserved. God protected them. God preserved them. God watched over them. Listen, it was a wilderness of fiery serpents, the Bible says, but not one of them touched them, because God preserved them. Friend, I want you to notice that here we find that God sent the serpents among the people. And they had walked amongst the serpents, and not one of them touched them. But listen, one after the other, the serpent rose up and face the children of Israel. And one after the other, their sharp fangs nigh spit in to the flesh of the children of Israel that venomous poison. Because, you see, they sinned against God. They speak against God. They speak against Moses. They treated the provision of God with contempt, as if God Almighty had not provided His mercy and His grace for them and to them. And the Bible says, and the Lord sent the fiery serpents. And let me tell you, friend, the God of creation turned creation against them. The God of creation turned the very creation against them. And they had walked amongst the fiery serpents, and not one of them had touched them. But God sends them forth in judgment. Let me tell you, friend, you can't play around with God as if God didn't count. You can't play around with sin as if God does not see your sin, because there is always a price tag for man's sin, for sin is rebellion against God. This people speak against God and against Moses, and they rebelled against the provision of God, just as a sinner takes the provision of God, friend, and they treat it as if it is of no account, and they walk under their feet the precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed at Calvary's cross. Listen, until one day God sent the fiery serpents to judge them. And you can't play around, oh listen, young person. You can't play around with sin. Listen, you could say, but listen, didn't they walk through the fiery serpents in the wilderness and not one of them touched them? Yes, that's true. But one day they did. One day they did. One day the serpent rose up one after the other as they were walking amongst them. And the Bible says, let me tell you, and they bit the people. They bit the people. And friend, you might play with sin and you might walk in sin, dear friend. And you can say, preacher, haven't I got away with it? Haven't I got away with it until now? Let me tell you, friend, that very sin that you think you've got away with will rise up and bite you. One day it'll rise up to destroy you. One day it'll rise up to destroy you and damn you. in a Christless, unending eternity. And the Bible says, listen, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. They were all in the same boat now. And they bit the people. Yes, they were bitter. They were bitten, but thirdly, they were burning. They were burning. Because notice what the Scripture says in verse 6. And the Lord sent fiery serpents. He sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. And friend, oh, the burning effect of the serpent's venom on these people. As they rose up, and spit out and put their fangs into them and injected into the veins of those people, friend, that poison. So their bodies started to heat. And the blood going through their veins were like a boiling river. Oh, the effects of the poison of the fiery serpent, and they began to burn. A fever came upon them. Friend, that's exactly what sin does. Sin will take you further than you ever want to go. I was thinking about Cain. And Cain thought, you know, that he could rise up against his brother, and he slew his brother. And he thought nobody saw him, but God says, listen, I saw, and your very brother's blood cries unto me from the ground, Cain. And friend, let me tell you, here was a lovely wee family. It was Adam and Eve, it was Cain and Abel. And one day it all changed. And one day the family was broken. And sin, my friend, destroyed that family circle. And death came into that home. And Cain became a murderer. And he went out as a vagabond and a fugitive. His sin took him further than he ever wanted to go. He never thought it would cost him that price. He never intended, my friend, that he would go that way. But he rose up in his anger against his brother, and he slew his brother, and he hid him. Man could not see. God says, I hear the speaking blood. It cries from the ground. And it cried to God. Let me tell you, Abel's blood cried for judgment, friend. The blood of Christ, thank God, it cries pardon. But it cried, Abel's blood cried from the ground. And Cain went out from his family and from his friends. And he went out as a vagabond. And he went out as a fugitive. And he cries out, my punishment is greater. It's greater than I can bear. Oh, the fiery darts. Oh, the burning of the judgment of God in the very body of Cain because of his sin. I think of the rich man who died and went to hell. And the Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he cried, I am tormented in this flame. Dear sinner, let me tell you, I can never imagine what a hell must be like. The Lord Jesus Christ has given me, or depicted for me in the Scriptures, the awfulness. It says this, where the worm dieth not, and where the fire is never quenched. The Lord Jesus Christ himself put it like this. He says, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing. Let me tell you, friend, listen. I know that the comedians today try to make mock of that. But there's not a soul in hell tonight that's mocking it. And when the Lord Jesus Christ said, there shall be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, friend, he wasn't telling a joke. He was telling the destiny of the unconverted. He was showing a man the price of a sin. What it means to be lost. What it means to go to hell and be lost for all eternity.
And he pulled back the curtain or the trap door of the damned. You could hear the weeping. You could hear the wailing. You could hear the grinding of their teeth in pain. Let me tell you. And God sent the fiery serpents. They were burning. Sinner, your sin will make you burn. Sometimes it's the burning of conscience in time. Man, one time, he smothered a little child. Or a mother, sorry. She smothered her little child. Her sin had taken her further than she wanted to go. She gave birth to a little child outside the marriage bond. And she thought that she could destroy the life of that little child and no one would ever know. She was found out for her sin. She was brought before the court. And she was sentenced to imprisonment. And she was heard cry in the prison cell at night, "Oh God, will I always hear the crying of my child in my ears? Will I always feel the struggle of my little one?" And she put it to death, her conscience. Then let me tell you, the burning of a conscience is an awful thing. A guilty conscience. But it's nothing to the burnings of hell itself. The place of the lost. The dungeon of the damned. The darkness of a lost eternity. They were burning. They were bitten. They were bitter. Listen. They were broken. Look at verse number 7. And in verse 6 it says, "And much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us.' And Moses prayed unto the Lord." Listen. Many or much people of Israel died. Can you see the scene? Can you see a family gathered round a child that the serpent has bitten? Can you see a mother kneel down beside her little one's bed? Can you see a father with a broken heart as he sees what sin has done? Because we have cried, "We have sinned, and we have spoken against the Lord." And they watch the fever burn the little one up. And they watch their child go into the valley of death, friend. And they watch the hand of death, as it were, just reach for the vital cords of life and pull the cord. Little one lies down in death. And friend, they're broken because the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned against the Lord. Pray unto the Lord." And is it not true that it takes sometimes heartache and heartbreak to break the stubborn will of men and women? Is it not true that multitudes go on, heedless and careless, trampling underfoot the blood of Christ, laughing at the cross, until heartbreak comes, until death comes? Then let me tell you, as they stood in the very presence of death, they realized that they too would die. Because you see,
that same serpent that claimed their loved one would claim them too.
Yes! The heat and burning fever that was in the body that they're trying would soon come to them.
And they cried out, "We've sinned." Friend, they were hopeless. They felt the hopelessness of their situation. And they said, "We have sinned." You see, they knew why they were under this judgment. And don't you be any mistake tonight. Listen, the soul that sinneth, it shall die.
Sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. Listen, my friend, you're under no illusion tonight. There is no excuse. God has warned you in the book. God has spoken to your hearts over and over and over again. What more has God to do? What more will it take before your heart will break? Before God, before you'll run and you'll say, "Cry unto God for me. I've sinned. Sinned." They have an excuse. They knew what they were facing because they saw their loved one go that way. They were going to die. I was only a young fella when one day a loved one of mine was taken to the hospital. One who was very good and very kind to us as a family. Especially to my sister, one of my sisters and I. He did everything that was humanly possible to look after us when we were children, an uncle. My aunt and uncle had no family of their own. They looked upon us as theirs. But my uncle had no time for God. He was taken to the hospital. They had to amputate the legs. I remember sitting as a young fellow, sitting beside, for I stayed with my aunt when he was in hospital. And I remember sitting beside his bed as he lay there, eyes closed. My mum and others of the family went and sat with him. Friend, I remember going home because it was so late, and I went home wondering, would he get better? And as the family was sitting round the bedside that night, in the darkness of the night, as the lights were dimmed, a visitor came. It was the angel of death. He started to cry. And friend, these were the last words he uttered in time. As these words was just simply this: "Oh, hell. Hell. Hell." And friend, it was over. Friend, it wasn't over. For hell was only starting. What an awful thing it is for a man or a woman to reject the mercy and the grace of a sovereign and a righteous and a holy God. Men and women, let me tell you tonight, they were broken. In the arms of the man of God, and the same man of God, pray for us. For sin. For sin. That's the people in peril. Very quickly, friend. The plan provided. Go to verse number 7. And it says, "Therefore the people came to Moses and said, 'We have sinned.'" End of the verse. "And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten
when he looketh upon it, shall live. And what I want you to notice here is this. The plan was divinely proclaimed, friend. Listen. The people came to Moses, but you know what they found out? That Moses could do nothing for them. Moses couldn't cure them.
They said, Moses, we have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord. Moses, you pray that the serpents may be taken away from us.
You see, friend, let me tell you. What they wanted was the removal of the suffering. Not really the removal of the sin. Maybe there's someone in this gathering tonight, friend, let me tell you. That's exactly what you'd want. You'd want God to remove the suffering or the penalty of your sin. But you wouldn't want God to move the... You enjoy your sin. You love your sin. And God says it's a penalty for it. But you'd like God to remove the penalty. Keep the sin. And they ran to the man of God. And you see, people today think if they go to the preacher, or they go to the priest, or they go to the prelate, or they go to some religious person, that somehow that will deal with their sin. Let me tell you, my friend, Moses couldn't cure them. And neither can I. But the plan that was provided, friend, it was divinely proclaimed. And the invention of the plan was not the invention of man, for man had no answer but to cry to God, friend. Moses prayed for the people. Paul prayed for the people too. He says, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. They might be saved. But it not only was a divinely proclaimed plan, but it was a deliberately detailed plan, because God said in verse number 8, and the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. A serpent impaled upon a pole, just as you would take a pole, friend, and you would drive it through the head of a serpent and you would kill it, so that brazen serpent was uplifted as dead upon the pole. Just think of that, because I believe, friend, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, this is what Jesus said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And here's a picture of Jesus Christ.
And can you understand, think of it, friend, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, humbled himself when he became man and he came into this world to be made a curse for us.
There's something beautiful here. Listen. They didn't take one of the dead serpents. God says, make a brazen serpent. And that's important. Because you see, the serpent that was uplifted, friend, there was no venom in that serpent. There was no poison there.
The serpent had no venom in itself. But what he was told to do was this. Make thee a fiery serpent. In other words, to make in the likeness. In the likeness of the fiery serpent.
But it was to be made of brass. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he humbled himself. And he took upon himself the form of a servant. But let me tell you, Jesus Christ was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. But there was no sin in him. The serpent was to be made in the likeness of the fiery serpent. But there was no venom in the serpent. Friend, there was no sin in Christ. He was the sinless one.
Made in the likeness of sinful flesh, but not sinful like man. There was no corruptness in him. There was no poison in him. But he became sin for us.
In other words, at the cross, our sin was reckoned to him. He stood as our substitute upon the hill of Calvary. And it was this our sin that brought the wrath of an almighty God upon him for your sake and upon mine. But there was no sin in him. He was the sinless Christ who knew no sin. And yet, wonder of wonders, he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, it was hung up as dead. And on the cross, sin was slain and hung up as the dead serpent. Death put to death. For he abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the cross. And praise God, the curse that was due for our sin was removed forever, for not one of God's redeemed people will ever be condemned, for there is therefore now no condemnation to us who are in Christ Jesus. He was made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. It was a plan that was diligently performed. Notice, make thee a fiery serpent. Only one. Only one. If they'd have made two, the other one would have been useless. There was nothing, my friend, that the second serpent could have done. It was a serpent. Only one remedy for the serpent's bite. One door and only one. And Jesus says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Listen, it was not a wooden serpent. I wish you had time to go into this. I can only just say these in passing. It wasn't a wooden serpent. It wasn't made of any other metal. It was a brazen serpent. Tested in the fire. And praise God, it shone brightly in the sun. It sent its beam around that men and women could easily see it. And thank God, through the foolishness of preaching, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is preached tonight, even in this tent. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. And thank God, as long as there was a bitten soul, there was a brazen serpent to heal. And if there's a sin-sick soul in this service tonight, let me tell you, there's a Savior to heal you who's passing this way. The people in peril, the plan provided, but lastly, the pattern presented. Can I say just one other thing before I say that? It was decidedly personal. Nobody could look for anybody else. It was something personal. A mother couldn't look for her children. A father couldn't look for his daughter. A child couldn't look for its parent. A praying mother may kneel beside her dying son, but he wouldn't be healed. A family might plead with a loved one who's in the burning of the venom of the poison of the serpent. But they couldn't look for him. Friend, let me tell you, I can't look for you. You've got to look yourself. The look of faith. And that brings me to the pattern presented. Listen, very simply, it was simple. Listen, the Lord didn't tell Moses, listen, Moses, You paint and decorate that pole and make it as nice as you can so that, it'll draw the attention of the people. No, he said, listen, I want you to take that pole and I want you to drive it through and I want you to lift up the serpent, that brazen serpent. And the Bible says in verse number 8, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. All you've got to do is look. Then let me tell you, Lord doesn't say, listen, children of Israel, go through rituals. He doesn't say to them, pay money. He doesn't say, join organizations. He says, as many as look, just simply look. To live. And friend, there is no other Savior but Jesus Christ. And you've got to look to Jesus. You've got to look the look of faith. And realize that there is no other hope outside of Christ. And turning away from all other hopes and all other refuges, turn alone to Christ and cry out like Peter as he was going down into the belly of the Sea of Galilee. Lord, save me, I perish. And immediately he stretched forth his hand. And he was saved. He looked. The look of faith. It was simple. Friend, listen. It was supernatural. You say, how would it look to a brazen serpent? How would that heal anyone? Let me tell you, friend. It was God did the healing. It was God who did it. Because, listen, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, says Paul. It is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God. The power wasn't in the pole, friend. The power wasn't even in the brazen serpent. The power was in the God who provided the plan. And salvation is of the Lord tonight. And only Jesus can save your soul that's condemned and ready for hell. It was simple. It was supernatural. It was sudden. Let me tell you, friend. You see, when that old serpent spit the venom into the veins, much of the people died. And that spit of the serpent's venom into the veins, it was fast working. But let me tell you, immediately they looked, they left. For thank God the salvation plan was faster still. It was sudden. Sanctification takes a lifetime. Justification takes a moment. The look, sinner, look unto him and be saved. Where do I look, preacher? The church? The sacraments? No. Where do I look? The preacher? No. Where do I look? To man? 10,000 times no. But sinner, look to Christ. Look unto me and be ye saved. That's what he says. Look unto me. That's not unto me, friend. Listen. Listen, forget about me. Look on to Christ. Look on to the Lord Jesus Christ and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and beside me there's none else. Look to the Lord. Here's the last thing. It was sure. Not one that looked died. Not one. But it says, listen, everyone that is bitten, when everyone looketh upon it, shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it in a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld that was any man, beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. He lived. He lived. Have you got it? He lived. Looked and lived.
Not one solitary man that looked but lived.
Not one solitary one that looked, friend, remained under condemnation, under the judgment of God. But praise God, God graciously and wonderfully pardoned. Let me tell you. And God Almighty is covenant tonight in His Son Jesus Christ to save them that believe. He is covenant tonight to save those that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And here's my guarantee in the Savior's name. There not be one person in this service tonight that but look to Christ. There's not one will look in vain. For whosoever shall call shall be saved. And any man that looketh upon the brazen serpent shall live. Live. I see a wee lassie. She says, Mommy, does that mean me? And Mommy says, yes. That's what God said. Any. And she takes a look. It's only the look of a child, friend. But she takes God at His word. She lives.
See a young man lying in the fever of death, about to go out into God's eternity. And Moses cries out, young man, look! Look at them!
The fever is so much upon him, he's hardly able to open his eyes, friend. But thank God, with the strength of God, he simply takes a simple look. And the moment he looks, praise God, he lives. I guarantee you in God's name tonight, there's not a soul in this tent but will look away to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loved you and gave Himself for you. But praise God, He'll give you eternal life. And you'll never perish. Neither shall any pluck you out of his hand. May God give you grace to look for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word. Oh, we thank thee for the solemnity of it. We ask of thee that you'll give saving grace tonight. Oh, that you'll give the needed grace to men and women to look away. Look away from sin. Look away from self. Look away from churchianity. Look away from religion, dead religion. Look away to a living Savior. And any man that looks shall live. Whosoever believeth in Him that's in Christ shall not perish, shall never perish, but have everlasting life. Will you look tonight? Friend, you too are dying. You too are bitten by the serpent, the old serpent, the devil. Sin will gain its price, but the wages of your sin will be death. Oh, don't die in your sin. Claim the life of Christ, friend. Claim the eternal life that He offers freely in the gospel. And by the grace of God, look away.
by faith to Calvary, to the bleeding Lamb of God.